Good to see you today. Good to be back with you in the pulpit today at Dutch Fork Baptist Church. Did you pack your lunch? I warned you, you didn't pack your lunch. There is a King's restaurant on the corner down here. Doesn't serve the most helpful food, as Jeannie would tell you if she were leading us in the Daniel plan. But good food anyway, fill the empty space. And then there is a little further down the Golden Arch. The chick is down there too, if you want to stop by and see the chick. Across the road is the San Jose. You can go there. And there used to be a wonderful barbecue place called the Little Pig. And it left the area and went east of Columbia. And every now and then, on a special occasion, when Ms. Roma gets an urge for barbecue, we'll all give in and go with her to the Little Pig. May the Lord bless us for enjoying the Little Pig. Well, today's message is not a message about what's wrong with America. Today's message is a message about what God wants to do in and through you and I. A nation in poverty. A nation that everybody still wants to come to. Isn't it amazing? 78% of the people in America may not be faithful in church on Sunday morning, may not be seated where you are seated today, and thank you again for being here. On this weekend, we realize that you have the opportunity to be with your family and be enjoying the beautiful creation that God has given us to live in. But thank you again for being here. But a nation where people today are doing everything they can to come to this country. A nation that I'm so thankful that I'm privileged to be born in, to be a citizen of this nation. The freedoms that we enjoy, even with all that is taking place in our nation, all that is happening in our country, we are still the most blessed nation this side of heaven. Let me encourage you that you look for the things that are right about America. Oh yes, we can point out the negatives, and we must be reminded that those negatives are there. We must recognize that they're all around us, and they're there. They're there by the enemy. They are the tares that have been sown among the wheat. 78% of Americans still profess to believe in God. And as I said, they may not be where you are on a given Sunday morning, but 78% of Americans, latest poll, by the way, says that 78% of Americans, there are some of us, a few of us, that believe that we are beginning to see a turn in values in America. Hobby Lobby is an example, the ruling that just recently took place, and some other rulings that are happening. The greatest thing that you can do for your nation is pray for its leadership. You and I, as believers in Christ, are commanded to pray for our leadership. Paul says that, as he wrote to Timothy, that we are to pray for all who are in authority and in leadership and responsibility over us, that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life. It has been well over 100+ years since an internal war has taken place in this country. You saw in the video what is happening around the world and around the globe today. We are blessed to be a part of a nation. Children and young people, cherish the heritage that has been given to you, remembering the blood that was shed that you might have the privilege and the freedom to be here today. I said something to somebody earlier this morning in a joking way. I was a draft dodger. Y'all didn't know that, did you? I dodged the Army and went in the Air Force. I figured it was a little harder to shoot at me up there than it was down here. I don't like bullets. But I am proud of the fact that I served in our country. I'm proud of the fact that I served during the Vietnam era, the conflict. I'm proud of the fact that I grew up when I grew up. God gave me the privilege to be born, Rome of the privilege to be born in the era that we were born in. We've seen a lot of change in this country. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 39. And when you find that, I want you to stand. We're going to read those eight verses together. And then there is a related passage that I have listed for you in your bulletin, your program today. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 through chapter 20. Verse 21, and then we're going to look at another passage. Isaiah chapter 39, verses 1 through 8. Stand with me, please. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices, and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house, nor in all of his domain, that Hezekiah showed them not. Big mistake. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men, and from where came they unto thee? Now, let me pause here just for a minute. If you can think of Isaiah as being who he was, the prophet of God. But if you can think of Isaiah in present-day terms, we just sang, we believe in God the Father, we believe in the Son, we believe in the Holy Spirit. If you can think of Isaiah as being the Holy Spirit coming to this king and bringing to him a word from the Lord, in other words, convicting him, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I that are here today, we do not have prophets per se as we had in the Old Testament. If we are saved this morning, if we are born again this morning, if we are a child of God this morning through faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work on our behalf on Calvary's cross through His shed blood, we are a prophet in that we foretell that which has already been foretold. And so Isaiah is a picture of the Holy Spirit working in the church today, in your life and in my life, and he comes to the head of Judah, the king of Judah, Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a godly man. Now listen to me carefully. If being godly, if just being godly, if just being saved, if just having God's righteousness would prevent and keep you and I from making mistakes, that would be wonderful, but it won't. You see, God has empowered us as His children, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God with His inerrant, infallible word of truth, which is the Bible, that we might know and that we might say and that we might do that which is pleasing unto Him and that which brings blessings into our lives and into our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives and the generations that follow us. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men and from where came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasuries that I have not shown them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, whom thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah. Now, here's an attitude in this last verse, and I want you to see this because it's a prevailing attitude that can happen if we're not careful in any of our hearts and any of our lives. Well, it doesn't affect me now. Hello? Don't nod your head if any of you ever said that. I want to tell you it does affect you. It will always affect you and I. And my friend, it will affect our children and our grandchildren and our heritage and our lineage that shall fall after. So this is what Hezekiah said. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord. Well, what else can you say? When God has spoken authoritatively, when God has spoken the truth, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for this great nation. We pray, God, that you would never take your hand from us. We pray, God, that we would repent as your people. And we pray, God, that we would turn from our sin. And that we would ask for your forgiveness. And we pray, God, that we would bind our houses with the blood of Jesus. And that we would pray a holy hedge of protection over our families, our children, our grandchildren, our extended families. And Father God, we ask for your divine protection and intervention in the affairs of our families. Because the strength of this nation does not lie in its leadership. The strength of this nation lies in your people who are on their faces crying out to you for your mercy and for your grace and for your forgiveness. As we repent for the sins that we see committed each and every day in the life of this nation. God, I pray today that we will grow deeper in our relationship with you on our knees, and that we will rise taller as a result above the evil and the tide of iniquity that would try to engulf and swallow us as a people of God. And God, I pray today that you would deliver us. God, that you would deliver us from the fiery darts of the enemy as he seeks to rob our homes and our families of our precious children and grandchildren. God, I pray and I plead the blood of Jesus over this church family and every member of this body. And I pray a holy hedge around us today. And I pray, God, that you'd keep us in your care and protect us, that Jesus Christ might be exalted in all that people see in our lives, in all that they hear from our lips. May we magnify and exalt you. Forgive us, Father, and cleanse us of all of our sins through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. This is kind of old, and I know you can't see it. But I won't even try to hold it still. I'll just let you see it. Many years ago, right after I was saved, October the 15th, 1963, Allis Air Force Base, Allis, Oklahoma, I married a beautiful lady, December the 27th, 1963. And in January of that year of 1964, we were both baptized together at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Allis, Oklahoma. And three couples in the church felt a burden for young people, and so one of them was Roma and I and two other couples, and we got together on Saturday night, and we began to pray, and when the Lord transferred Roma and I from Aldous Air Force Base to Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul, Illinois, there were around 80-plus young people attending a Saturday night Bible study. Now, you say, well, times are different. No. Kids today, young people today still want to know the Word of the Lord. They still want an anchor for their soul, and so we just studied the Bible. We studied various topics, and so I had a gentleman to do this for me. I didn't do this, so I don't take credit for it. I had a gentleman to do this. You couldn't even if I did it, you wouldn't be able to understand it and see it. But in Joshua chapter 10, there's a story there. The battle was taking place, And they were going to lose the battle if nighttime would have come. And so you need to write this down. Go home and read this story, okay? Joshua chapter 10, okay?
And so Joshua prayed, and when Joshua prayed, the sun stood still for almost a whole day. Now, this was prior to the time that we've just, you can look at this after the service. I'll lay it down there if you'd like to look at it. You can see where I'm going with this morning, because something had happened in Hezekiah's life. Hezekiah had, death was coming to Hezekiah. Hezekiah had gotten out of the will of God, and as a leader and as a man of God charged with the responsibility of leading God's people, he had gotten out of the will of God, and a horrible boil had come on Hezekiah, and God sent the prophet Isaiah with some figs to put on that boil, and Hezekiah was miraculously raised up. But Hezekiah was somewhat questionable how that God was going to do that, and if God was going to do that, and so Hezekiah asked Isaiah for a sign from the Lord, how that he would know that God was going to heal him and God was going to raise him up and that God was going to prolong his life. And so Isaiah said, well, do you want the sundial to move forward or do you want the sundial to move backward? And so Hezekiah chose for the sundial to move backwards. Now, at the equator, the earth is about 25,000 miles around at the equator, which would be the center of the earth. And the earth is rotating every 24 hours. So the earth at the equator is turning over 1,000 miles an hour. So here's my point from telling you all of this, is that God performed such a miracle. Now, hold on, because I want you to understand why God performed this great miracle. God performed this miracle not just for Hezekiah. God performed this miracle because the people of that day, the pagans of that day, worshipped a sun god by the name of Nebo. How many gods do we know that people are worshiping today? Why does God do what he does? He has a greater purpose and a greater reason behind what he is doing, and that is to show forth his glory, to show forth his greatness, and to show forth his power to a pagan people. Because they believed that Nebo, being the sun god who never went backwards. And so for the sundial to move backwards 10 degrees, which is 40 minutes, there's 15 degrees in an hour. If you take a 360 degree circle and you divide it by 24, you come up and you find out there are 15 degrees per hour. So that means that 40 minutes, or 10 degrees, 4 minutes per degree, 4 times 15 is 60. 10 times 4 is 40. So that means that God, boop, stopped the earth in its rotation. Now you can imagine it's spinning at 1,000 plus miles an hour at the equator. He stopped it, bloop, and then he rotated it back 10 degrees and he stopped it, bloop, and didn't lose anybody. Didn't sling anybody off in outer space. Hello? Well, why not? He's God, amen? Sure he is. He's God. And so then he starts it back and the earth rotation moves again. Well, so if you take the 10 degrees there in 2 Kings and in Isaiah chapter 39, 2 Kings chapter 18, chapter 20 through chapter 20, 21, and you take the almost whole day, you have a whole day and God had already performed this miracle in the sense in Joshua's day, he caused the sun to stand still, not to move back, but to stand still. And so if you look on the graph that's on the screen, you'll notice that 24 hours times 60 minutes is 1,440 minutes. 1,440 minutes times 360 degrees divided by 360 degrees, 4 minutes per degree, etc. So you end up with 40 minutes. And Nebo, the sun god, God was showing the pagan world who created the sun. The sun didn't control God. God controlled the sun. Hello? Amen? I want you to know this morning that God controls the affairs of our nation. If God controls the sun, if God controls his creation, then God controls this nation. And God has control in your life and in my life, and God has our best interest always at heart. And God is always working to magnify and to glorify Himself. Second slide. What happened to Hezekiah, if we're not careful, can happen to any one of us. He became inflamed with pride. Paul writes and warns the believers in the New Testament, and he says that we're to be careful because pride comes before what? Oh, yes. How easy it is for... You remember how Satan came to Adam and Eve in the garden? You remember what he said to Eve? You remember, first of all, he questioned the absolute integrity and authority of the power of God. He said, "Has God said?" Now, folks, listen to me this morning. God has spoken. We don't need to question what God has said. We just need to abide by it and live by it and practice it in our faith each and every day and believe in it and stand on His authoritative, inerrant word that is truth without any mixture of error, and understand that all that is happening around us in this country, God is still in control. If you focus on all of the ills of this nation and all that's happening in this nation, you'll become discouraged, you'll become defeated, you'll become despondent, you'll become depressed. And those are all negative words. And that's what the enemy wants to do to the Christians in America today. He wants to bind us. He wants to defeat us. He wants to discourage us, depress us. And He is doing everything He can in every way He can. But greater is He that lives in you and in me than lives in the world. And His name is, say it, Jesus. He shed His blood on Calvary's cross that you and I might have victory over sin. I tell people He came to deliver us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and one day He's coming back to deliver us from the presence of sin. Put those three P's in your pod and keep them with you and remember them when you are facing those challenging times. And so Hezekiah began to brag. He thought to himself, wow, Sennacherib from Assyria had come in and he had laid Judah waste, but he had heard of rumblings in Nineveh. And so he decided to head back to Nineveh. And here come this entourage from Babylon. What a wonderful opportunity that Hezekiah had to magnify and to exalt and to glorify his God and to tell those emissaries from Babylon that it was God that had healed him, that it was God that moved the sun back. But instead, what did he do? He opened up his house and he let the enemy in. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. Where are you opening up your house and letting the enemy in? Before you start fussing about America, before you start complaining about what's going on, I want to tell you what a bad parent I was. I wouldn't let Joni and John watch the Smurfs. And you just ask her. She's all messed up today because she didn't get to watch the Smurfs. I mean, just ask Tim. He's her husband. He'll tell you. She's all messed up because she didn't get to watch the Smurfs. We didn't allow our children to be involved with anything that had wizard or witches about it. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Moms and dads, grandmamas and granddaddies, there's hardly a movie or a cartoon out there today that does not present wizardry or witchcraft in it. And listen to me, we sit there week after week as week and we profess to be children of God and we open up our house and we let the devil see everything that's in our living room. I've stopped preaching and gone to meddling, haven't I? You know it's the truth. What are you allowing to happen in your house? And so, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Praise. Anytime I draw attention to me, every bit of the glory that I bring to me will never go to Him. Hello? That's what pride does. That's what he did in the garden, you see? He wanted to take all of the glory away from God. He's still up to that today. He's still deceiving today to take all of the glory from God and to bring it to man. Pride. Praise resulting in destruction every time. Anytime you praise man, anytime you begin to look at man, if you're looking at this preacher, get your eyes off of him and get your eyes off of him now. Please get your eyes up here. Preachers come and go, but churches are here. Hello? Hello? Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. That's why Leon and I talk about God-centered, Christ-focused, Holy Spirit-led. Because everything we do must be God-centered. It must be Christ-focused. And it must be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Because it is to bring praise and honor and glory to Him. And so Hezekiah said, I'm going to need some associates to help me. Sennacherib came in and he totally demolished our country. He killed all of these people. He led my family off captive. He took all of my wives except my first wife and my last son, Manasseh. I need an alliance. How many of you are building an alliance this morning with the enemy and you do not realize you're building an alliance with the enemy? Listen to me this morning. Immigration's not our issue in this country. All of these things that our country is facing this morning, listen to me carefully, all of these things that our country is facing this morning is a result of what's happening internally inside the citizens of this country. And God will give us what we ask for and what we want if we are not careful. And it can be the wrong thing. Next slide, please. Hezekiah bragged about his personal treasures. He brought him in. He showed him all of his treasures. He showed him his armories. He carried him throughout all of his domain. And he bragged about all that he had and all that he'd accumulated. And he had gone about trying to restore everything after Sennacherib had come in from Assyria and had demolished the country. And he had sought to rebuild the nation. And God had blessed him. Oh, listen to me, Dutch Fork. It is when God is blessing that the enemy will come if we are not careful. And we'll begin to brag and say, how great we are. How great we are. Next slide, please. Here comes the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you here this morning, right here in this service. Some of you are already convicted about what's in your house. You know you've let the enemy come in. Or you know you're allowing the enemy to come in right now. Where did they come from, Hezekiah? Let me see if I can remember. You know, where did they come from? What did they say? What have they seen in your house, Hezekiah? We warned both of our children at an early age. You've heard this story before, but I want to say it again. We warned them both that they were DNA proposed. Toward alcoholism. It was in Roma's family. It was in my family. I guess when Roma and I got married, we just decided that there were just some things that weren't going to be. I guess we became mean, ornery, horrible parents. Because there were some things it wasn't going to be. I'm not bragging this morning. I'm just, to God, giving you the glory. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And listen to me this morning. That's as true as John 3:16 is. Hezekiah, it's not going to come in your day, but your children are going to pay. Now, church, I'm going to tell you all something this morning. I pray that none of my children have to suffer for my sin. I pray that nothing I do will one day be visited upon my daughter or my son. A nation in poverty. If there were ever a time that we need to get back to the basics and what made this nation strong, we're living in that day, in that time. Do I believe there's hope for America? Yes, sir. I believe it's sitting right out here this morning. In every one of you. I believe there's hope for America. And I believe that when God's people will get on their faces before God and cry out to God for His mercy and for His grace, I believe that judgment will be pushed back. Such is the case of Nineveh. When Jonah finally got up and went to Nineveh after God had to spit him out of the whale, you know the story. And judgment was delayed. I believe that judgment can be delayed upon this nation, but I'm telling you this morning, unless there's a change in the direction that America is going, this story that I brought to you today is going to happen to this nation. I don't want that, church. I don't want that to see. I don't want that to happen to my children and my grandchildren and your children and your grandchildren. I don't want that to come about. And I know that the only thing that's going to change it is you and I have to decide that there are some things that are going to be absolutes. And we're going to raise our families according to the inerrant Word of God, which is truth without any mixture of error. Hezekiah sought to form that alliance. He was warned by God that judgment was coming. The wonderful opportunity that he had to say to a pagan king, Jehovah God, heal me. And it was Jehovah God that created your son, not your son God, but created your son. And it was Jehovah God that stopped the earth and moved it back 10 degrees and stopped it and then moved it back forward again. But instead, he chose pride. Pride always comes, you said it, before the fall. Last slide, please. What happened? The nation became void of God. When Hezekiah died, his son Manasseh, do you know anything about Manasseh? You know anything about Manasseh? Raise your hand. Go home and research it if you don't. Who was he? He was the most wicked king that they ever had. He took the nation further down than it had ever been, and God brought destruction. My point, we don't want to raise up any Manassehs. We don't want to allow pride to become such a part of our lives until that pride begins to make us believe in ourselves. We are commanded in the Word of God to pray for our leaders, to pray for our president, our vice president, the members of the Senate, the House, our Supreme Court justices. We're commanded in the Scripture to pray for our local governor and lieutenant governor and our local House and Senate. We're commanded to pray for our local municipal governments and county governments and county councils and town councils. We are commanded to pray for our local law enforcement offices and those who provide the protection for us. We are commanded to pray for all those who are in leadership and authority over us as a people of God. Why? So that we may live a quiet and a peaceable life. Now listen to me. And I'm through. Promise. You've heard this saying, well, if you didn't go vote, you've got no right to say anything. How many of you have heard that? Oh, yeah, just about all of us, right. Sure. But listen to me. If you aren't praying, you hear me? If you aren't praying, if you aren't praying for this nation, if you aren't praying for the president, listen to me, before you criticize the president, he was the one that people chose. God allowed him to be chosen. I just read you the story. Before you criticize anything that's taking place with our senators and congressmen, think about it. God gave the American people its leaders through its people. Now let me ask you this question. What's in your house? What's happening in your house? What's taking place in your house? Because listen carefully. The values of your home and my home will continue to affect our generation of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The values that you decide upon today as a mom, as a dad, as grandparents, those values that you decide to implant in your children, you have the opportunity to reproduce yourself into the life of your son and your daughter, into the life of your grandson and your granddaughter, your great-grandson and your great-granddaughter. Give them those values that you profess to hold dear and precious in your heart and in your life. And remember, with all that's wrong with it. Yes, I could have preached a whole message this morning on what's wrong with America. But it's kind of like putting a Band-Aid here, here, and here when the real issue is in our hearts. So, here's my last question. What are they seeing in your heart? Right here. That's the house. Hello? I said this to Roma. Jeannie has been leading us through the Daniel plan. I frankly missed it, meeting together as a group. The Daniel plan is not about losing weight, although that is a benefit from the Daniel plan. The Daniel plan is about remembering this is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And He lives right here, church. Right here. Now, how many of us treat our house better than we treat God's temple? How many of us treat our possessions better? Right here. So when you leave here this morning, I want you to leave with this challenge. How does this temple look? What do they see in Johnny Muller? What's in his heart? Would you pray with me? Father, on July the 4th, I read the Declaration of Independence. It was drawn up on July the 2nd. Actually not voted on by some until 6 months later, until they could get back to Washington to vote on it. We as a nation have chosen to celebrate July the 4th as the day that we were liberated, set free from England and from all other foreign powers. May we never forget the price that was paid, the blood that was shed, the lives that were given, the sacrifice, that we might have the privilege to be here today in this house of worship. May we teach it. May we live it. And may we practice it. But most of all, Heavenly Father, may we never forget the day some 2,000 years ago. On a hill called Golgotha, where the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Savior, the only begotten Son of God, came, and he too shed blood. He shed blood that we might be completely free. Free from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin, according to your word, is death. The wages of sin is death. But also free from the power of sin. It is through Him living in us, in this temple that we just spoke about, that dwelling place, that house, our heart, our innermost being, that we can be set free from the power of sin. And we can experience that total and complete victory that we read about in those scriptures earlier as the praise team led us in worship. Knowing, Father, that one day He's going to return. Yes, we believe in You. We believe in Your Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in His death, and we believe in His resurrection, and we believe that He's coming again. Father, our prayer today is that You would help us to live in such a way that we'll live as free people. Deliver us today from the shackles of sin, the smallest little shackle that we're not even aware of, maybe, that has grabbed into an area of our heart, our life. It's there. It's in our home. It's in our family. We okay it. We kind of nod our heads at it. We kind of smirk at it. But we've allowed it to take place in our lives. Deliver us today, Father. Deliver us today. Set us free. Break those strongholds that the enemy would try to bring in. Every home and every family that makes up this body of believers here at Dutch Fork Baptist Church. Our guest. May we become truly a free people in Jesus Christ. So much so that when they look into our lives, they will see You. They'll recognize You because of the way we live, because of what we say, because of the way we love one another. Father, if there's one here this morning, be there a child, a youth, an adult, who's never given their heart to You, never trusted You as their Lord and Savior. They just heard me say that that took place October the 15th, 1963, Aldous Air Force Base, Aldous, Oklahoma. I'll never forget it. I pray that today would be the day that they can mark down in their heart. They'll come and say, Pastor, will you pray with me? I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I want to be cleansed of my sins, forgiven of my sins. And I want Christ to live in me. And then, Father, there may be those today that you've spoken to their hearts that they need to come and be a part of this fellowship by profession of faith in you and baptism, by transferring their membership from some other local church, or Father, they may come on their statement of faith. They've been prior baptized by immersion and they have confessed you as their Lord and Savior. But Lord, may we take a few moments in this time of invitation as your people and gather around this altar. Leon has just reminded us we'll be moving back, perhaps maybe sooner than we thought, into our worship facility. But may we not be so much in a hurry today to leave without taking a few moments and coming to this altar praying for this nation, for our families, for our homes, for the churches that dot this land. In Jesus' name I pray.